today on Real Radio.
The Lord is my God if I give enough money. Wrong. The Lord is my God if I bake 50 homemade cookies for the Marine Corps. Wrong. The Lord is my God if... No, wrong. Add nothing. The Lord is our God. Your God. My God. You decide that.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David J., thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack, in a message called What Are We Waiting For? Part 1, continues now in a series called The God of Our Salvation, the Book of Isaiah. Thanks for joining us today. Isaiah, you know, was God's prophet in ancient Judah between the years 740 and 700 BC. Isaiah brought comfort and truth to the Jewish people, but he was also God's voice of judgment when they refused to turn from their sins. The book of Isaiah also has the most quoted verses in the Bible when it comes to the birth, the life, and the death of Jesus Christ. And Isaiah's prophecies go far into the future when Christ returns in the second coming. In Isaiah chapter 24, we learned that Isaiah was given a series of visions about the last days. During the Great Tribulation period, those left on earth will suffer greatly at the hands of the Antichrist because they refused to turn to Jesus Christ for salvation. Now in chapter 25, we'll see that there are some things we don't have to wait for. We can experience them now, but there are other things we do have to wait for, and they'll be well worth the wait. So today on day two of this lesson, Pastor Jack tells us that we are waiting for Christ to return in the second coming, when worship and praise will become more precious to us. The Lord is our God, and He has done wonderful things on our behalf. He's faithful in His promises to us, and His counsel always speaks the truth. And now continuing his lesson called, What Are We Waiting For? Part 1. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
When Christ comes in the second coming, there'll be worship on earth. Think of it. Christ will return. He'll come. Like the lightning flashes out of the east and under the west, Christ will come. Those who are Christ rejectors, they'll mourn at his coming. But Israel will rejoice, and the believers will praise him at his return. And he comes and he brings his kingdom, the politic of God, the rule of God on earth. And he'll establish the throne of David from Mount Zion in Jerusalem, says the Bible. Wow. Listen, before Christ can return, there has to be an Israel back in the land. I always find that. I look for that every opportunity to tell you that. He couldn't return until there's an Israel. May 14th, 1948. Israel is reestablished. He would have to return to a city called Jerusalem. You can look on the map now. And it's no longer Capitolina. It's called Jerusalem again. Don't you think that's awesome? If you're a doubter in the Bible, you ought to stop. You ought to stop doubting. Worship's going to be realized. How so? Well, look at the verse as we just quickly unpack this. And it may be the only verse we get to tonight as I'm looking at this clock here ticking away. The act or the reaction of worship, personality trait number one, you are my God. Look at your Bible. Number one, you are my God. Tonight, can you say the Lord is my God? Do you know what that's like? Can you say it with confidence? And do you understand why it's important to understand that? The Lord is my God. Tonight, number one, you do not understand it correctly if tonight you are saying, the Lord is my God if I jump through the hoops. He's my God. Wrong. The Lord is my God if I give enough money. Wrong. The Lord is my God if I bake 50 homemade cookies for the Marine Corps. Wrong. The Lord is my God if... No, wrong. Add nothing. The Lord is our God. Your God. My God. You decide that. This evening, getting ready to come here, there was a plant, a hydrangea plant still in the pot that needed to go into the backyard tonight before, after studying, but before service tonight, I had to get that in the ground because Lisa wants it in the ground, and I got to get it in the ground, and it needs to be in the ground. And so my grandson was with me, and I said, hey, can you stand over here while I dig this hole? And when I put it over there, I need you to put dirt from that end, and I'll put dirt from this end. And he said, 3 years old, he said, His answer to me was, I have a choice in that. What is that? I have a choice in that. I mean, that's too deep for me at 3 years of age. I'm 58 and I'm thinking, what is that? So he's looking at me. I have a choice in that. All right, man, you stumped pops here. I just need you to, look, don't get deep with me, kid. I just need you to backfill this hole from your end. I have a choice in that. Did you know regarding worship, you have a choice in that? God wants you to choose. Well, why doesn't God just make a bunch of worshipers? Then it wouldn't be worship. I want God to make robots. Then you got the wrong God. He is your God. You choose. Joshua turned to the nation and said, choose today whom you'll serve. You choose. It's your choice. You can't have true worship. You can't have true love unless choice is there. You can't have obedience. For a couple of minutes, I didn't think Oliver, my grandson, was going to obey. And it's kind of cute when they just do things because you say so. You know, when they're really young, you can say, can you bring Papa his book? And they kind of, you know, and they move, and you can hear the diapers moving, and they're, you know, they bring it, and it's like, well, that's cool, but they don't know what they're doing exactly. They just respond. It's like, that's, but listen, when they're three and they say things like, oh, I have a choice in this. Or when they're 13, I have a choice in this. They really don't at 13, but they think they do. Remember what Mark Twain said? When your kid reaches 13, I mean, you raise your kid up, but when your kid reaches 13, you put your kid in a 55-gallon barrel and you feed him through the hole of the barrel until he's 18. And Mark Twain said, when he's 18, you seal up the hole. That's parenting 101, man. But I have a choice in this. You are my God, Isaiah exclaims. Secondly, the reaction of worship, personality trait number two, is that I will exalt you. God is worthy of our exaltation. The word means that I will lift you up, God. When we worship, I'll lift you up. I mean, honestly, biblically, I know by the end of the day, and you guys, Wednesday nighters, you guys are amazing. I'm not just saying that. You fight traffic and all that stuff, and you get here. But the precious thing about you just even trying to get here is like Matthew 2:2, we have come to worship him. You may be early, you may be on time, you may be late, but your desire is, man, I got to get there. I got to worship. And that is an awesome thing. God sees your heart. Did you know that David wanted to build God the temple but was not allowed because his hands were bloody? David was a warrior, and God said, listen, I love you, man. You're a man after my heart. You're a sweet guy. I love you. You're the best. He really wasn't, by the way, but God loved him. By the way, same is true for you. You're not as great as you think you are. Nor I, but God loves us. Isn't that something? Well, God loves me because, wrong. God loves you because he is God. He is the Lord. He loved us first. Remember, he loved you before you woke up to loving him. He loved you. He loved you. He loves you. Isn't it crazy amazing? It's funny because when we're not Christians, we're kind of, you know, whatever. And then when we become a Christian, it's like, oh, God loves me. And then we kind of get caught up in this model home mentality that we got to have all this stuff perfectly, perfectly perfect before God can come into our house. Right? It's like, no. He was in your house before you woke up to him. He was calling out to you. And he didn't come after you because he lacked anything. He didn't come after you to make you do anything. He came after you because he loves you. Amen. Have you ever had somebody say to you, or maybe you've said to them, I say somebody, it better be somebody special with what I'm about to say. It's, I love you. And that woman or that man might turn and say, why? What is it that you, why? And the answer is, like the three-year-old, Because. Have you ever noticed that with kids? Because. Why are you doing that? Because. Because I have a choice in this. And I choose to love you. And you can argue with them. I'm not worthy of your love. I love you. You can put up all the resistance, yet that person has chosen to love you. And God says, I love you. And so we exalt him for that. Thank you, God. We lift you up and we learn about your personality. You are God. You're worthy of exaltation. Thirdly, I will praise your name. The response or the reaction to the very nature of God, I will praise. Look, this is what believers do. I will praise your name. Now listen, if the Holy Spirit tonight is saying to you, listen, this is serious. If you're not a worshiper and tonight he's speaking to you and he's been convicting you since I opened my mouth about this, and he's saying to you, you need to worship me, then you know what that means? It means that you are a Christian. You're a child of his. If tonight you're saying, aren't you almost done? I don't really care about any of this. Then you're probably not a child of his, because you will have to praise. Now, praise is amazing. Praise is a form of worship. Okay, so watch. I can be worshiping God like this, right? I can worship God driving down the highway, looking at the day, sunset, sunrise. The fact that there's no traffic on the freeway at that hour. It's like, yes, God! That's worship. I can be worshiping. I could worship God and you not even know it. I could just be in my heart could be exploding with a song, and I could be standing in line at the store or whatever. And then there's praise. You can't hide praise. See, what are you doing over there in the corner? You're all quiet, just praising the Lord. No, you're not. You may be worshiping. And that's awesome. Got to worship. That's great. Praise is expressive. Now, look, I'm easily distracted, so I'm glad this is a conservative church when it comes to praise. But there's some churches, you know, God bless them. They're going to be in heaven with us. They'll be in a different area over there somewhere where they're just running around, climbing up things, swinging from stuff. And it's like, I mean, I wouldn't go there, but they're going to be in heaven with us. They're going to be praising the Lord. Now, we might look like dead people in heaven. It's like, whoa, what's that? But isn't it amazing? Have you been to Africa? If you've been to Africa, let me tell you, man, I don't care if you're in this congregation right now, I don't care what ethnic background you are right now. I don't care if you're black or white or any color in between. When you see worship in Africa or in some areas in the Middle East with Christians, wow, it is awesome. They just go for it, man. And they just worship the Lord. You go to a church service in Africa or in some areas even of Eastern Europe, you better be ready to spend 3 to 5 hours at church on Sunday. They have worship for an hour. They have a Bible teaching for an hour. Then they have worship for an hour. Then they eat for about an hour. Then they worship, and they might even have a little bit of a devotion. Because you know what? They're so appreciative. They're so thankful. And they get it. They get it. You think those girls in Iraq, I think it was Iraq this week, that chose to be burned to death, the Christians that are dying, they're not duped. They're not fooled. They have somehow discovered that he is worthy and he is the reality. We may walk into a model home and lean on the counter and pretend we're carrying on a conversation and walk around the rooms. But the reality is that when Christ is at home in your heart and it's a heart of worship and praise, it's right anywhere in the world. It's right even when you're locked into a cage and burned to death. Worship. Worship, I believe, will become the most precious thing to us in the near future outside the very salvation that God has provided us. I believe persecution is coming to all parts of the world. And we will choose to worship or not worship him. And it won't be like we'll try to pull it off. Listen, the hour will be too hot. It will be too intense for us to fake it. We will have to praise him. We will have to worship him because was it Job who said, naked I came? Naked I came, naked I go. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Didn't Peter say, to whom shall we go, but you alone have the words of eternal life? Listen, tonight, let's just wrap this verse up and let's worship him with a couple of songs. And if you look at that verse, the reaction of worship, personality trait number 4 and 5. Number 4 is, for you have done wonderful things. Can you confess that tonight? Has God done, listen, this is serious. Has God done wonderful things in your life? Notice the temptation that's coming upon you and me right now. Feel it? Can you sense it? Has God done wonderful things in your life? If you have to pause and wait, I believe in him and I love him and I trust him, but has he? Oh, yes, he has. Yes, he has. Listen, pull back. Pull back from the stuff of the world and realize, yes, he has. Everything. Listen, has he delivered you from an abusive relationship? Has he delivered you from, I don't know, what is it for your life? There's a billion stories that can be told. Can you tonight quietly say to yourself, yes, he has done wonderful things. I haven't thought about that. Yes, he has. What if this morning God does wonderful things? This morning I got a text on my phone. In fact, it was amazing timing because I had taken a run this morning and I went up to, you know, the big oak tree is, you guys, for those of you who've gone up to the massive oak tree, you don't know that. So I went up there and I took a picture of this, it was foggy and the sun rising was coming through the fog and I was at that oak tree and I took a picture and I put it on Instagram. And as soon as I put that on Instagram, I got a text from a family member, and my mother-in-law died this morning. And it was like, whoa. I was taking a picture of glory, and a matter of minutes before that, she passed away here in Chino Hills. And wow, you start thinking. And family starts gathering and getting on airplanes and all that kind of stuff, right? And you start talking like we talked today. Hey, what about this? And she had a super blessed life. In fact, she was saying she's been 88 years incredibly healthy and then got sick recently, or just not even got sick. Her body just began to get tired. And she was saying, when's Jesus? I want to die. She's telling all of us, it's time to go. I've lived. It's time to go. And so this morning was her time. And you stop and you think, oh my gosh. I mean, she loved the Lord. What if? She was very, very, very committed to Jesus. Very serious about Jesus. She would terrify me when she would come to church. She would sit back over here because and her glasses would be on the end of her nose and she'd be listening like this. You guys, I'm telling you right now, if I've ever been on good behavior, it's because my mother-in-law was sitting right back over there. And every so often, once in a while, she'd say, that was a good sermon today. Listen, you better write that down and date it, because that was awesome to get that from her. And she went into the presence of Jesus. And then you start thinking about what if, how is it that Lisa and I met? How is it that when we came together, we met up and we were dating? And when I lost my job 3 weeks before the wedding, being a responsible person, I told everybody, we can't get married until I get another job. Wouldn't any parent want to hear that from their future son-in-law? How responsible. He wants to call off the wedding until he gets a job, because that's the way I was raised. And my mother-in-law, the one who went to heaven this morning, this is 38 years ago? She comes up to me and she goes, what'd you say? I said, we have to call it off, at least postpone it till I get a job. I just lost my job. She goes, where's your faith? And I'm thinking, what kind of question is that? Where's your faith? And I said, oh, gosh, this is like a tough exam. And I pulled out my wallet and I said, right here. as soon as it came out of my mouth, I was so convicted. She kept talking. I couldn't hear a word she said after that. I just remember being, I remember the Holy Spirit saying, "You're probably going to hell now." I felt like I totally denied God. And she said, "No, you're getting married. You're marrying my daughter because that's, you know, that's great and all that kind of stuff. But listen, you trust God." And she's always been like that. It's amazing. What if I didn't meet Lisa and I didn't meet her and I didn't meet their family? What if? And you consider tonight, say, "Well, I'm not sure if God did anything wonderful in my life." You better pull back and ask him, what if? Listen, what if my mom didn't move from Hawaii? What if my mom didn't attempt an abortion? You say, those are, you know, one thing sounds nice. Listen, it's not a nice thing to move from Hawaii to the mainland. That's not nice. And then my mom attempted an abortion. Well, what if she wouldn't have? Who knows what would have happened? You see what I'm saying? I'm looking at it from the reverse end. You say, "Oh no, the worst thing could have." No. Wait, what if? In your life, what if? "Well, my dad beat me as a kid," maybe you would say. Listen, as horrible as that was, what God wants to do in all of that is make that a redemptive thing. He wants to take it and make you a person that could have never been the person he has planned unless you've come through it. Amen. See, you and I want the model home, but nobody lives there. A home where there's life is a home where there's dirt, dust, wrinkles, smudged windows, and real fruit. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your truth. We thank you for your grace. Tonight, Father, in fact, church, let's stand. Tonight, as we close this out, may we think about what we are praising with tonight. Our hearts are just our mind. Is it everything? Is it the whole package? Or are we just lip-syncing it? Do we mean it? And then when we raise our hands to make it a prayer, as the Bible says, men and women ought always to lift their hands in prayer. Can we make this song a prayer and mean it? Lord, help us, please help us, God, to not be mechanical, robotic in our worship, or else really, truly it isn't any, unless we are free to praise you from a heart that is filled with thanks. Tonight, let's worship him tonight. Let's praise him tonight. Let's do that from our hearts right now. In Jesus' name, let's bless him. Amen.
Pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a message called "What Are We Waiting For? Part 1. Thanks for joining us today. And, you know, we shouldn't wait for Christ to return before our lives are a constant praise towards him. What Are We Waiting For? Part 1 is part of Pastor Jack's series called The God of Our Salvation, the Book of Isaiah. It's a series that brings to light the ministry of the Old Testament prophet Isaiah, who shared with us the coming of the Messiah, our Lord Jesus Christ, over 700 years before he was born. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Radio. Here on Real Radio, we've talked about what's available at our website many times, but it's important for us to remind you about the tab at our website called Know God. The Know God tab, that's K-N-O-W, God, it's a way for us to show you just how much you mean to God and that he loves you and wants you to spend eternity with him. The Know God tab gives you insights on what it means to be saved and why each and every one of us needs salvation. It's also there to help you share your faith in Christ with others in a clear and precise way. So head on over to our website, click on the tab that says Know God. You'll find that at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. That's reallifewithjackhibbs.org. And if you need to get a hold of us, call us, 877-RR-RADIO. That's 877-777-2346. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. That's reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in his word. We'll see you next time here on Real Radio.